Well, God bless you all.
It's wonderful to hear some of your voices and to know that we're connected via the internet. It's even more wonderful to know how we're connected to our Heavenly Father so perfectly via the gift of Holy Spirit. And a few weeks ago, we started a teaching series concerning the new birth, and we're going to continue in that. The first segment that we did was entitled The New Birth, Eternal Life. And then we looked at, the next time, the new birth, the ability to operate nine manifestations. The last time we got together online, we looked at the new birth, our access to God. And tonight we're going to look at the new birth, the right kind of love. We're going to open in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Christianity is really all about the new birth. It's what God has made available. It's what brings us into the family of God and puts us into a relationship with God and His Son, Jesus Christ. The new birth is what makes us Christians. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17 says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature." The word creatures could also be rendered creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. The words "in Christ" had been taught in a previous time as meaning in fellowship. But if you look more closely at the different uses throughout the New Testament, when someone or something is in Christ, some person is in Christ, it's referring to the new birth. Once you're born again of God's Spirit, you are in Christ. That doesn't mean that you're always going to be in fellowship, but when it says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ," it's talking about if he's born again, if he has the gift of Holy Spirit, if he has Christ within. It's referring to Christians. And Christians are a new creation. Isn't it wonderful that God did not send Jesus Christ to reform and clean up our old nature? And really, God in His great wisdom knew that that was impossible. The old nature is defective. It's imperfect. It's to be done away with throughout the events of upcoming years and ages. But if any man be born again, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. We get a whole new nature. The things of the first birth of the old man are passed away. All things are become new. We have a whole new life form. We have a whole new way of living, the new birth. Now, what we want to do as Christians is we want to learn about that new creation. We want to learn about who we are, what we have, what we can do. And one of the great truths that will help us understand that is in 2 Peter chapter 1. Let's go to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1 in verse 4. It says, "Whereby," and in the context, verse 2 and verse 3 talk about the knowledge of God. "By the knowledge of God are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises." You've probably heard the Bible is a book of promises. They're not only great promises, they're not only precious promises, they're exceeding great and precious promises. "By the knowledge of God." And then it says that by these promises, ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Now, the words "might be" in 2 Peter 1, 4, much better rendered "became," because "might be" indicates some doubt or some condition or maybe will, maybe won't kind of thing. But it's here it says, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye became partakers of the divine nature. That's the new birth. By believing these great and precious promises, most specifically the promise of Romans 10, 9, and 10, when you believe that God raised Jesus Christ from the dead, you confess him as your Lord, you became a partaker of the divine nature. Now, what is the divine nature? Well, it's God's nature. It's who God is. God is holy, and so in the new birth, you became holy. God is spirit. The new birth is spirit. It's Holy Spirit. God is righteous, and by believing concerning Jesus Christ, you are now in Christ. You have that new nature, and that new nature includes righteousness. And there's many, many other things, and some of them we'll have the privilege of looking at through this teaching series. But we are partakers of the divine nature. Now, when you think of God, certainly one thing that comes to mind is God is love. He's just love, period. It's not a conditional love. It's not a wavering love. God is love. He is perfect love. And that love is expressed in the New Testament by the Greek word agape. So when we became partakers of the divine nature, well, that new nature is love. That is a part of you. That is the new creation that is now you, is that you are and have the love of God. Look at Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, it says in verse 5, and hope makes not ashamed, because the love of God, and that's that word agape, the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, or the Holy Spirit, which is or which was given unto us. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the gift of Holy Spirit, by the Holy Spirit that was given unto us. So we have, as part of our nature as Christians, as a part of our nature as sons of God, as we have the love of God. We've got it. We are partakers, we share fully in the divine nature. We have God's love born within. Now, just because you have it in the new birth doesn't mean that you'll automatically manifest it. And certainly, we've seen that in our previous study concerning our access to God, in the study before that concerning the nine manifestations. Every born-again one can operate nine manifestations. Does everyone? No, there's some Christians that never get around to speaking in tongues, never really operate the other manifestations. Christians have full, unfettered, absolutely uninhibited, unhindered access to God, like we saw the last time. But yet, Christians sometimes are ignorant of it, or sometimes Christians don't use it. It's not God's fault. It's not God's will. But in the same way, we have the love of God born within us. It doesn't mean that we'll automatically manifest it. Now, we want to understand from the Word of God, how do you manifest the love of God? Well, look at 1 John chapter 4. This is a real wonderful section. Has some tremendous insight and real practical knowledge as far as the love of God and how it works in our lives. 1 John chapter 4, in verse 7, it says, Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loves, and this is that word agape, everyone that loves is first born of God. Hey, to be able to love with the love of God, you have to have the love of God. And to have the love of God, you have to be born of God. It's part of that new birth package. So the first step in learning to love with the love of God is to get born again. Now, for the most part, all of us that are part of this online fellowship tonight and will be listening to this in the days and weeks ahead already have achieved that and accomplished that. Thank God we have eternal life. We are the children of God and we know it. But a requirement to love with the love of God is to be born of God. That's why the natural man, the non-Christian, cannot love with this highest form of love. It's impossible. You have to be born of God. But the verse doesn't stop there. It says, everyone that loves is, number one, born of God, and then number two, knows God. Now, how do you know God? Well, how God has made himself known to us, has made himself known to the world, very simply, is via the word. By the word that he's given, the word that he has declared about himself, of what his will is, of what God is about, what God's desires are, what God's pleasure is, what God wants us to do, what God wills for our life, all of the great things that the word of God communicates to us. It's by getting to know the Word of God that you get to know God. So to love with the love of God requires two things. It requires first getting the Spirit, being born of God. It requires the Spirit. And then number two, it requires knowing God by His Word, knowing the Word. And the Word of God describes to us how to love with this love of God. We've got the love of God born within, but we need to take that love of God and utilize it. We need to take that love of God and put it into our minds and act accordingly. We need to manifest it. That's why sometimes this word agape has been literally translated the love of God in the renewed mind in manifestation. You know, you can know the Word of God, you could have it in your mind, but then not do it. So to manifest it requires doing the Word of God. And that's how we're going to love with the love of God. That's how we're going to manifest this new nature, by walking in love and loving God and loving one another. And then it says, verse 8, he that loves not knows not God, for God is love. There it is. That's the divine nature. God is love. In this was manifested the love of God towards us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. And the way that we live through Jesus Christ, of course, is the new birth. That's the life that Jesus Christ came to make available, the gift of Holy Spirit. And then it says, herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. God so loved the world that he gave. So certainly a very big part of us manifesting the love of God, of us manifesting the divine nature, is that we so love that we give. You know, that we're imitators of God, that we put on that desire to help and to serve in our renewed mind and then walk accordingly out of great love, and patterning our lives after the love that Jesus Christ had in laying down his life as a propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. That's great verse for the Trinitarians, huh? No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwells in us, and his love is perfected in us. You know, God dwelling in us is an eternal reality via the new birth. But here, God dwelling in us is when we manifest his love. So God dwelling in our minds, in our actions, in our lives. God dwells in us, and his love is perfected in us. So what a great, simple thing with the great standard of how God has loved us in Christ and the great love that Christ had for us in laying down his life. So it takes the new birth, it takes the Spirit, and it takes knowing God's word, knowing how the love of God works in the renewed mind. There's, of course, a great chapter that describes this in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, one of the most famous sections of Scripture in the Bible. As some of you might know, my son Sam and I have a food business, and we are very busy this time of the year through the fall doing weddings. And so oftentimes when we're catering a wedding, we observe the wedding ceremonies. And oftentimes in the wedding ceremonies, this section of Scripture is read. Now, when it's read, how much of it is understood? That's maybe a different question. I don't know. But this is a very popular, very famous section of Scripture, 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And it describes to us, in a wonderful way, the love of God. Now remember, the book of Corinthians is reproof, and it's reproof for failure to adhere to the doctrine of Romans. As some of you might be familiar, there's a whole section in the book of Romans, Romans chapter 12, I think it's about verse 8 or so, or verse 7, continuing all the way into chapter 15, that talks about how to love without hypocrisy. So there's a lot of other sections of Scripture, maybe less known than this, than 1 Corinthians 13, but also talk about how to love with the love of God, real practical information. And as you want to and learn and desire to love more with God's perfect love, Romans chapter 12, verses in the middle of that chapter into verse 15 is a wonderful section of how to love with the love of God, to love without hypocrisy. But here in 1 Corinthians 13, it has a very, very wonderful, unique construction that perhaps is unknown to most, because it doesn't come through in the King James translation. I don't know too many that it does come through, but we'll see it here. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 in verse 4. It starts with the word in King James, charity. Now, charity is an old English word that means love, or the love of God. It is the word agape. We certainly, in our day and time, would understand it better as simply translated love, or the love of God. The love of God suffers long and is kind. One of the things that it takes to love with the love of God is to learn long-suffering, putting up with a lot. And by the way, I don't know if you've noticed, but, generally there's a lot to put up with in there. Maybe one of the things that's hardest to put up with is yourself sometimes. I don't know. But sometimes other people can be challenging, or work situations or other things. But the love of God suffers long. It puts up with a lot. It's long-suffering. And is kind. You can get great fruit and great furtherment of your Christian walk just by practicing kindness to people. Just being kind. The love of God is kind. The love of God envies not. It's not envious. The love of God vaunteth not itself. Have you ever seen somebody who's just all full of themselves, and they, they strut like a peacock, and they think they're the hottest essence, French toast or something. But the love of God vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, you know, not all, you know, it just so taken with how smart they are, puffed up in their minds or whatever. But now, I mentioned that there's a unique construction here, and it is a very wonderful construction. Doesn't come through in this translation anyway. The word charity or agape occurs three times in verse 4. All three of those uses of agape in the Greek text have the definite article preceding it. So it's not just love suffers long. The way the text reads is the love suffers long, definite article. And then when it says love envies not, again, it has preceding agape, it has the definite article translated in English to the. So it's the love of God suffers long and is kind. The love of God envies not. And then the third use of agape also has the definite article. The love of God vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. Now, some of us, I know, many years ago in working through the word pistis, came across this particular construction. The word pistis is the Greek word for believing. It's often, most often translated faith in the Bible, but means generally believing. And back then we came to understood that there were some uses of pistis that were preceded by this definite article in the English, the. And when it said the believing, it was referring to the right way of believing. Do you remember that, some of you? The right way of believing. And that was distinguishing the right way of believing from all other beliefs or all other types of believing. And, you know, it's pretty easy to understand because basically every human being believes something, don't they? They believe something. I mean, you know, some people, you know, believe that, you know, God is, you know, in idols or God is, you know, in the stars. Or I mean, you know, there's a lot of beliefs, in other words. You know, and many of them are just not right. But there is, biblically, a type of believing, a form of believing, that is distinguished from all other believing as being the right way of believing. Well, here in 1 Corinthians 13, it also applies to love. And here you could translate this as being the right kind of love or the right manner of love, as opposed to other types of love. Now, and I learned this, a lot of rivers, synesis, came together in my brain cells because I had studied love and how there are different forms of love. Some of them are very low, very base forms of love. There's one that's really nothing else but lust. It's in the Bible, it's the Greek word epithumia. And it just means, you know, it's like use of, you know, someone that just has an over desire, let's say an over desire to eat. And they would say, well, I love to eat. I love food. You know, it's really, I guess you'd say it's a form of love, but it's a very low form. It's a, you know, it's not a necessarily a good form or a right form. But there's other words in the Greek language, and there's other uses in our current English language that are, you know, maybe rightly translated love, but they're lower forms of love. They're not referring to the high love of God, the highest form of love. Like eros in the Greek is sexual love or sexual passion, eros, erotica. You know, and that is one of the ways that people understand love, but it's, again, it's a lower form. It's an imperfect form of love. And then there's another word, that means human love or brotherly love, but it's the word phileo, which perhaps are familiar with. Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love. You know, human love is very powerful, can be very wonderful. It's maybe epitomized most by the love that parents might have for their children or love that's within a family. But as we know, sometimes that love can go sour. It's not always a perfect love. You know, there is a certain reciprocation that's sort of expected sometimes with phileo, like you scratch my back and I'll scratch yours. So there's other types of love, is the point. And, you know, we've known that. I mean, I grew up in the 60s, you know, all the songs that were penned back there, you know, Beatles, All You Need Is Love. Well, what kind of love are you talking about? You know, the Summer of Love in San Francisco. Well, what kind of love was that? I mean, you know, it's kind of good to evaluate when people start talking about love. Well, what kind of love are you talking about? Well, here we're talking about the love of God, and the love of God is unconditional. The love of God is perfect. It's the love of God that's born within us. And here it's marked out in verse 4 three times as being the right kind of love, as opposed to the other kinds of love. Isn't that great? This is also comes up in verse 8, where it says charity or agape, love of God never fails. This word charity here also has in the Greek text the definite article the before it. And it also comes up a fifth time in this particular chapter in verse 13, where it says, and now abideth faith or believing pistis, hope, charity, agape, these three, but the greatest of these is the love of God. That last use of agape in this chapter has the definite article before it. So three times in verse 4, once in verse 8, and again once in verse 13, God marks out his love, agape, the love of God, that love of God that is given to us in the new birth as being the right kind of love, the right manner of love, as opposed to all other lesser forms of love. Isn't that wonderful? And boy, you know, you stop and think about it. Well, what's the reward or what's the benefit of walking with the love of God, of learning to put it on in our minds and walking accordingly, manifesting the love of God? Well, how about verse 8, where it says the love of God, the right kind of love, never fails? Can you think of anything else that never fail? Well, how about the love of, it never fails. It will never be wrong. It's the right kind of love. And, you know, it's fantastic because God also has marked out believing, hope, and as well as the love of God in other constructions and other locations with this definite article. In fact, there's a verse. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 for a second. So while we're on this train of thought, I thought you'd be blessed to see this. In verse 3 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, it says, remembering without ceasing your work of pistis. And this word pistis is marked out with that definite article the, so it could be translated remembering without ceasing your work of the right kind of believing or the right way of believing, and labor of the love, you know, the right kind of love, and patience of, and then in the text, the hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father. So there's the right way of believing, and there's also the right hope. The right hope, as it's described in Ephesians, there's one hope. You know, that's the right hope. And the right hope is Jesus Christ is coming back. There's a lot of other hopes. There's a lot of other forms of hope. There's a lot of other forms of belief, things that people believe. And there's a lot of other kinds of love. But God's way is the right way of believing, the hope of Christ's return, and the right kind of love. And so the love of God is our very nature. You know, you could say that it comes to us naturally to love with the love of God, but I think even more accurately we say it comes to us supernaturally to love with the right kind of love. And so what we can do in practice in the renewed mind is to put on the love of God, put on the various attributes that it is, that it's giving like we saw, giving like God gave his son and Jesus Christ gave his life, that the love of God is kind, that it's not envious, it's not puffed up, it doesn't vaunt itself. There's many other things, ways that it's described. We didn't read all of 1 Corinthians 13 tonight. Go ahead and do it, please, in your study this week or at your leisure. You can also go to Romans 12 and that section of love without hypocrisy and see great practical instruction of what to put on in the renewed mind to manifest your new nature. To close, let's go to John chapter 13. The Gospel of John, chapter 13. It says in verse 34, a new commandment I give unto you. This is a new commandment, didn't exist before. Jesus Christ gave it unto us. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another. As I have loved you, that ye also love one another. This is not an option for the Christian. This is a commandment. It says that ye love one another as I have loved you. I think of Ephesians chapter 5, where it talks about husbands, love your wife like Christ loved the church. It's a pretty high standard, but it's available to love one another as Christ has loved us. You know, the standard of just giving and of unselfish, great love, unconditional love, not dependent on, you know, the others deserving it or warranting it, but just to love in the way that Christ loved us. And then it says, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another, that agape. You know, when you see people loving with the love of God, you know that they're born again of God's Spirit, because it's impossible to love in that perfect love, agape way, the right kind of love, until you're born again. And you also see that they're practicing that in by manifesting in their renewed mind. You know, and by that, we become attractive to others. Others know that we belong to him, that we are his disciples. Because we have love one to another. And boy, I just remember when Carol and I first started coming to fellowship so many, many years ago, the love that we experienced was very attractive. I didn't know what it was, but it was very attractive. It was a new kind of love to me. I had never really seen it. I hadn't seen it growing up. But in the fellowship, it was very, very evident. And as we walk with the love of God, we will shine as lights in this world, and others will see the Christ that lives within us. So the new birth brings us a new kind of love. It brings us a whole new way of living, because in the new birth, we are new creation, and part of that creation is the love of God. So Heavenly Father, thank you for your great love towards us in having sent your Son, Jesus Christ, and having made us to be your children. And Father, we know that we are. Father, we're so thankful for his great example to us, and that we can love each other in the way that he loved us. And Father, may we just continue to grow in this great aspect, this great reality, in being able to manifest the new birth that was given to us. So Father, thank you for this in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. God bless you.
Amen.
You're the best.
Thank you.